Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I feel like we haven't watched Potomac in like weeks. I was like, what is the show again?
I know. Ooh. And then the Golden Globes were on at the same time. I was like, damn, these girls can't catch a break.
I know. This was tough. This episode is also very much like a filler episode. Not much happens.
I know.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we're still in Austin. Still got the beef going.
Jesus.
Still got the beef going with Candace and Robin, all of that. Mm-hmm. Friend, what are your initial thoughts? What are you excited to talk about this episode?
Yeah, my first initial thought is that I love how everybody wants to be Karen Huger.
Oh,
I feel like that should be the title of this episode. Everybody wants to be Karen. The people at the bar, the drag queens, the cast, everybody wants to be Karen Huger. Yeah. And I agree. Nobody has grown up like Karen. I feel like she is a beloved housewife in all of housewife franchisery.
Definitely. She gets respect. She's one of the older housewives, and she gains the, I think she's garnered the respect as well from, as you said, like all the franchises and with the ladies too.
I also am really looking forward to Candace and Robin having a conversation by themselves.
Yeah, honestly.
We need a lunch.
we need a lunch, guys. Yeah, we do.
Because there's a lot of miscommunication. I, at this point, don't actually know what they're fighting about either. and so I'm just really looking forward to that. And then I am also really looking forward to and very excited that Ashley has a side storyline about her mom that makes us understand her relationship more, because that made me understand a lot about
Ashley. Yes, yes. That quick little explanation she gave, I was like, oh, okay.
I get it.
Yeah, yep.
Not to get into Miss Sheila's business and all deep into Miss Sheila, but this is part of her storyline. This makes a lot of sense to add to like how she treats Michael, why she's so slow with this divorce. Like, it just makes so much sense.
It did.
And Ashley makes no sense most of the time. So I am very happy about that. Those are my initial thoughts. And I did not really get a lessons learned out of this one.
Okay, no worries.
There wasn't really a whole lot to learn.
Much happening. Yeah, I get it. okay, my first thought is, Candace and socials, she's got to get off socials. We got to just stop doing this.
I think she has to get the login taken.
She's got to get somebody on her team, got to just take her phone. Yeah. I'm not at all team Robin by any means necessary, but I also couldn't stand to be near somebody, better yet friends, but not even near somebody who on the low is popping off on socials about me and like doing the rounds on podcasts, talking shit. Like, talk to me. Stop making this shit public. It just seems so, it's literally the definition of petty and very immature. And I just, we got to take her phone. I just picture her like going on a rant on her phone, like privately, like on the toilet, like going off. And it's like, somebody get her off. This is not a good look.
Here's the thing. I don't actually mind her going off on social about what she went off about, because Robin did tarnish the reputation.
She did.
She did do that. And she did that all season long, and that is really obnoxious and really annoying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we wanted to take Robin's, I think, champagne flute. I think that's what they hold, the champagne. We definitely want to take hers away as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like that Candace is now crying.
That's what's killing it. Yeah. That's what's killing it. It's like, go off, I guess, on Robin. And I get it. She was hurt by the whole cheating thing being hidden when her husband was being, you know, accused. I totally get that. But then you can't sit here crying, boo hoo hoo, and then also like mourning your friendship with her. It's like, what do you expect Robin to? Rob's not gonna be friends with you after you just went off on her on Twitter. Like, the friendship's over. You like dead and buried that. You need to also be good with that, because that's a lot to ask somebody to come back from. From reading what you wrote on Twitter and to try to be friends with you again. Like, it's just not, it's not going to happen. So yeah, that was my first thought. Second thought, Juan telling Robin to be the bigger person. I literally laughed out loud, yo.
I went up to the television and started doing dioramas to Crunch. I was like, you see this shit right here? You see this shit right here?
I laughed out loud. It's like, oh my god, I've drawn this comparison before. Juan and Tom Schwartz are the same person. I've never seen two men literally refuse to take their wives' side. And I just don't get it. I've never seen. No matter what side she's on, whether she's big wrong or she's in the right, they are never going to choose her. They're going to choose the other person.
Right.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Yeah. You hate her so much. Like, you to see her suffer. You want to see her, you know, in shame. You want to see her fighting for her life by herself. Like, it's like they want to see that. Like,
atone for some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, not taking out the trash and not making your favorite meal on your birthday. And now all of a sudden she's wrong in this argument. About
somehow.
You.
Yeah. It's like such a public shape. Like, I feel like we're in like the county square and she's like being publicly flogged and he's there like watching. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, something they get off after seeing someone supposed to be the closest person to them fighting for their lives by themselves while they're looking at you for like a olive branch. And you're just like sitting off at the sideline, like shrug shoulder. What is, I can't. That shit was nuts. My last thought, Mia and NECA are just useless. Their only purpose, like, particularly this episode has showed so obviously, their only purpose is to be, like, on Robin's side, and that's really it. They don't really give any insights. They're not real friends with Robin or Giselle even. They are just there to be on the other side of the person that they're beefing with. So NECA versus Wendy. So whoever's not on Wendy's team, they're just going to ride for Robin regardless. Right. Same for Mia and whoever the hell she's beefing with. I don't even know. But their presence, like both of their presences just feel so unnecessary and superfluous. They're just like hanging on and eating up the budget. Like somebody else could have used that money for that plane ticket and their hotel room, Austin, because they didn't provide no value on this trip. In terms of what I'm excited to talk about, my lessons learned, at what point, and this is to Candace and Robin's situation, at what point is it okay to stop fighting for a friendship? Like, what are the signs that it's time to just hang it up, stop embarrassing yourself, this person don't want to be friends with you, and just move on?
Not embarrassing yourself.
After a while, it's embarrassing. Like, you groveling for this person to take you back or whatever. At what point do you just say, you know what? This ain't it. So yeah, hopefully we could talk a little bit about that. Anyways, before we dive into the recap, we have to talk about Salt Lake City
and the best finale, I think, in Housewives history.
And what
I would say, so
wow,
I would say it's up there with Flipping the Table with Teresa. It's like up there.
Oh wow, that was like season, that was early Jersey season one. Like one that was season one of Jersey. Holy shit. So I don't watch Salt Lake City. I've watched the clips that you sent me. Do you want to give like a, I don't know how you want to do this, a little play-by-play or a little, for those who don't know,
I think a lot of people know. Time Magazine had this up on their Instagram the other day, girl. Is like for real. Yes. So Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, if we break it down, we have a cast of, I want to say like five or six women, Two of them are related, and one of them is brand new. Her name is Monica, and she used to be Jen Shaw's assistant.
And right, her, okay, I remember this.
Her intro to the show, she said that Jen told her how she Jen was making money, and she was like, "You could do it too. We could be in on this." Da da da. And she said, "I took it home and I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I called my friend who happened to be in the Secret Service, and and he said, oh, don't fuck with Jen anymore. Like, we're working on a case for her, whatever."
Oh my God.
Which was real fishy. Real fishy.
Yeah. Like, first of all, your friend that works in the Secret Service, can't they even share that news? Ain't it like the CIA?
What I'm saying.
They can't like share their real identity.
Right. And also, how did you become friends with them? We are both in New York City, relative to the New York City area. We have friends who do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have no friends who work for
nobody,
the CIA,
nobody,
the FBI,
no government agency at no federal level. So you miss in Salt Lake City. What? Oh, God.
So that's her intro, right? And so then we go throughout the season. They're fighting about petty, nasty, like, petty stuff, right? But she's a really good first housewife, like, season. She's really strong.
Okay.
She's having good fights. She is funny. The only problem is she's broke. That's kind of annoying. But otherwise...
Wait, is she the same one that... And I could be mixing franchises... Who, like, cheated on her husband?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, what was that story again?
She cheated on her husband with her brother-in-law.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You told me this.
For 18 months.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. And she's still married to said husband.
She's divorced from said
husband. Oh, they're divorced. Okay.
But she got married, remarried to that man, and then cheated on him once again with the brother-in-law. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So they got married twice and she cheated on him? Oh, God.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
Okay. That's Monica.
That's Monica. She also threw her mother under the bus this season.
What?
Girl.
Oh, God.
Crazy. So, on this season finale... Oh, okay. You know what? Yeah, let's set this up. So on the season finale, they've been teasing this forever, right? This phone call with Heather on the balcony where she's saying, oh my God, I can't believe it's her. I can't believe it's her. Now, this whole time, we as Bravo fans thought that rumor was that Monica was suing Heather's laser spa.
Oh, okay. So the whole season, that's what you're thinking is
whole
that phone
season,
call.
That's what we're all thinking. And that's what's like, not confirmed, but that's what's like the resounding rumor around the internet, right? So we're like, okay, we'll wait for it, right? Because we're waiting till January 2nd for this thing. It's been so long. And then during the episode, we get this fight. The first thing they intro is actually the fight between the Bermuda Triangle dinner between Heather and Monica, where Heather confronts Monica and says, you are Reality Von Teese.
And Reality Von Teese is a...
Reality Von Teese is an Instagram page that has been a source of storyline for the past, like, 3 years.
Oh.
Yes.
So it's like a Demois type thing? Like, they do gossip on the housewives and whatnot?
Particularly Salt Lake City.
Oh, specifically Salt Lake City. Okay.
Yes, which... To us, as Bravo fans, especially people who watch multiple franchises, we're like, okay, whatever. But to local people, that feels like really intense.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
And so she's been a part of this Instagram page for however long. And you want to know who told Heather that this was the Instagram page?
Who?
Her hairstylist, Tanisha.
Who's Tanisha? What? Tanisha, the
Tanisha.
Hairstylist. Knew that Monica was Reality Von Teese.
Because Tanisha is also Reality Von Teese.
Oh, what in the Gossip Girl? What? This is such small town.
It's so juicy. It's so good.
The hairstylist, of course, she has all the tea.
One
That's
out of
so funny.
Eight black people in Salt Lake City.
Tanisha, right.
Taking
oh, my
down.
God. Wow.
Jen Shaw and co.
Yeah,
and clearly, you know, your hairstylist, like my braider, she knows my business.
The whole business. They got all the tea.
Whole business. They have not signed a single NDA. What?
Right.
So she sent Heather screenshots, sent her all kinds of stuff, proof that Monica is part of this Instagram
part of this account. Oh my God. Wow.
So we get that conflict, right? That's been all over social media, receipts, timeline, from Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a flashback of a sepia tone scene of Heather, Whitney, Lisa, and Meredith on the beach giving Big Little Lies.
Oh, I've seen this. I've seen that moment. The winds in
the
hair.
The wind, bitch, was a paid actor, okay?
The scarves flowing like,
the
scarfs, oh my
the
God.
The extensions hanging on for their life. Woo! Oh my God. And they were just sitting around talking about how they are a real true sisterhood, loyal to each other.
Okay.
And they are going to take Monica down during dinner. And Heather was like, I need you to be on my side because I have all the
Oh, okay. So she was like garnering the troops before this big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She was like a real life gossip girl that infiltrated the group.
That infiltrated the group. Yep.
So my big question was she cast? Did they cast her intentionally? They had to know.
I feel like they did.
They did. And they said, you know what? Let's try this. Let's try to plant a little mole and see what happens.
I think they planted that rumor about it being a lawsuit between Heather and Monica.
To keep the reveal.
To keep it secret. Yep. Because now stuff is coming out from BravoCon. Girl!
What?
Because they filmed that thing in the Bahamas. That vacation ended 2 weeks before BravoCon began.
Oh, okay.
So they were all in BravoCon together. Monica sat separately from the entire rest of the cast. And they didn't have a panel discussion.
Oh, really?
Because their reunion was coming. So Andy couldn't film it.
Okay.
That ain't the reason why.
Production was working, y'all. Yes. They had this shit storyboarded for months. They knew exactly the final episode they needed and wanted. Yes. And they literally masterminded that whole thing. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it works. Because you would think, oh my God, that's too much. That's too much intervening with production. But it worked. And they were able to protect the reveal. So that's nuts. So... okay, so I keep seeing the previews for the reunion, but I don't... Now that I know what's happening, I'll watch the previews with more of a fresh lens because I don't really know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yes, right.
So she's at reunion.
She's at reunion. She's at reunion. Next to Andy.
Yeah, I mean, he got questions. He got questions. She got the top seat.
And then Heather has this other seat next to Andy.
Next to... I'm going to tune in for a reunion. I have to.
Yeah.
When in doubt, y'all, if you don't ever watch Real Housewives, you can just tune in for reunion.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. They do so many flashbacks. They give you the full recap. Like, you really don't need to see much. So she's going to be at reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Is she coming back for another season? Like,
that's
what
the thing.
Is this
I don't know how she's going to come back for the next season because she doesn't have a friend.
And they don't want to film with her. She's like a mole. She's a rat. So
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting then, because she's going to come to reunion knowing she's not going to come back, and she's going to come like guns blazing and swinging.
Girl, her guns have been blazing all season long. She went live as soon as this moment was on television. She went live on Instagram.
Oh my God,
she's crazy. Like
she's
nuts.
Obviously nuts. Yeah, with the whole mom thing and her husband, she's a loony. Mm. Wow. And so, what is this now? This footage of her in one of the girls' stores.
Oh my God.
In a wig or something?
Okay,
what is that?
So the night after Jen Shaw, or the day of Jen Shaw getting abducted by the feds, they went on another trip to some other snow destination. I think it was Aspen. And Meredith said, because they were all like, why the fuck is this lady being like towed off by Homeland Security? Like, what happened? And Meredith said all these like little quippy little like nasty rumors about Jen. But one of them was that she had a clutch stolen by one of Jen's like people from her boutique.
From her store. Okay.
In Salt Lake. And this whole time, Jen has been like refusing that this ever happened. No, this didn't happen. No, this didn't happen. I never went to your store. I never liked that green clutch. It absolutely happened. She has security footage. This is 100% true.
And they showed the footage.
And they showed the footage of not only Jen walking in and not only the person who stole the clutch, who came back the next day and stole the clutch, but also Monica and her blonde identity. Monica's had many identities over the past.
Oh my gosh, like all these different aliases and wow. So why'd they steal? Jen is such a crook, yo.
That is a crook, bro.
That is a crook.
Oh my God. And you didn't even, you didn't even watch Heather's full speech. Can I tell you the last nugget that happened?
Yeah.
Okay. So at the very end of Heather's like monologue that she went on, she said that Jen gave her the black eye from last season. Do you remember that?
I've been hearing about this. So what is this? She showed up one day with a black eye and then wouldn't say where it was.
On vacation, they were, again, Salt Lake is up here with New York as far as vacations go.
And these trips, yeah.
So they're on vacation. One day, one morning, Heather wakes up. She has these big ass sunglasses on. Jen is next to her. And Meredith comes in and Heather is like, I have something to tell you. And Meredith's like, what happened? And she takes off her sunglasses. Her eye is so fucked up, it's closed.
I've seen these pictures.
It's so bad. And all season long and Reunion and Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Heather has refused to say who gave her the black eye.
And this was on a trip. So they were all on a cash trip. Mm-hmm. She wakes up the next day and literally overnight somebody punched her in the eye. And she wouldn't say who it was. Okay. Oof. All right.
And so finally, the season finale of the next season, she said, I was covering up for Jen the whole time. She gave me the black eye.
Jen punched her in the face.
Jen whooped that ass. Okay. Jen whooped her ass. Shut. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know much about the show, but I thought they were friends. I thought Heather
for Jen. Yeah. What? They were. Heather was sticking up for Jen the whole time. I have no idea what went on. I have no clue. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, they got to get into that reunion. They have to, right?
Yes, they have to. Howsomever, guess who was Instagramming from jail?
Oh, God.
Claiming that never happened. And if Bravo had the footage, they would air it. Do you guys really think that if I punched Heather, they wouldn't have the footage? They would air that footage. Da, 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 da.
Oh my God.
Put up a good old text box. Yep.
How is she? What? Isn't she in jail? Like, how does she have access to Instagram? Bravo
live. Okay. Because she Instagrammed that like 11 o'clock. That finale was at 10. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's probably running in there.
Jen is running. She is the queen in that jail, for real. Wow. Okay. That is an ending indeed.
Isn't Salt Lake everything?
I mean, I woke up. I don't watch, but I woke up and my whole feed was Salt Lake City. And I'm like, all right, what's happening? And I've just been seeing all the memes, but had no idea.
Yep.
But I'm going to have to tune in for this reunion.
You do. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, friend.
Salt Lake City, you're welcome.
That was fun. Thank you. Oh, God. Okay. Also, Golden Globes happened.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not watch. Were you watching?
I watched only the last 2 hours.
Okay. So I heard Joe Coy. I don't even know who this is.
He dated Chelsea Handler. That's all I know of him.
Oh, okay. He dated Chelsea. That's all we know of this person. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw his. I was like, who's this? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. He apparently was terrible. That's why I keep reading everywhere.
I mean, he was fine.
Fell flat or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. They weren't as controversial and fun as the past couple of hosting gigs have been.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But, let's talk fashion. The part
that
matters.
Let's do it.
I think Margot Robbie needs a new team. I'm so bored. Okay. I don't want to see any more pink.
Wow.
I'm over it. I'm never really impressed And she's one of the top A-list whatever the fuck in Hollywood. I'm bored. I've been bored.
You didn't love the Schiaparelli Barbie LA premiere look? With the black and white one. Come on. That was impressive,
I guess, because it was a very, you know, a take on Barbie or whatnot. But
yeah. Well, she has to dress like a Barbie this whole time.
Yeah, but really bring it then. This pink dress she had on, like every other pink dress that she's had on all press.
What do you mean? Golden Globes, you think this is awards season.
I was bored by this dress. This is award show season. We've seen her wear many a pink dresses this whole press junket, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, for the awards season, I thought she'd really be knocking it out, and I was not.
Wow.
I feel like I've seen this dress before on somebody else, honestly.
What? Oh, we're
actually
past that.
She wore this dress in black. She wore this exact dress in black somewhere else. I just saw a picture. I knew I'd seen this shit before.
Oh, God. Who was your best dressed?
My best? So I didn't see a ton, but... who did I write that I like? Oh, Greta Lee. I don't know if this is my favorite Greta Lee, but she's just been eating up red carpets since Past Lives came out. Like, all season long. Whoever her team is, her styling is always amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love her hair. So she always,
her hair is
it's
always
hard to do a bob, interestingly. Really cool. And she does a cool bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Florence Pugh, loved her hair as well. She's another one with a great styling team.
Oh my God, great. Because I hated everything about that. But the she hair? Ate. Yeah.
But she'll eat. She'll eat she the hair. She ate. She'll eat
I
whatever
hated
they
it.
Put on her.
She ate. What can I say? You know?
I just thought it was interesting. It's just,
yes, she's always interesting.
Always interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's like a little faux hawk situation. Mm-hmm.
Sculpted
hair looks nice. Sculpted faux hawk. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. She always has the little what do they call this little piercing septum?
Septum.
Yeah, she always has that little septum piercing. It's kind of cool. I liked her dress too, actually. Who else? Yeah, those are my standouts. That was more hair. Anything.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. J-Lo looked great, but kind of boring.
Whatever.
I think I've seen that
she
outfit.
Always wears that. I'm so over this.
I feel like I've always
her.
Seen that
I'm
outfit.
So done.
She looked pretty though. I like it.
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
You're done. Yeah. Who were some of your standouts? I might have to Google as you're talking.
My standouts were Rosamund Pike.
Oh, interesting. Oh, this woman. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Live for this like cage in the front shaped like an apple. Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, it is an apple. Oh.
A little veil. Okay. I love it. It's fashion. It gets the people talking.
It's fashion.
It's short in the front. I loved it. Loved it. And then Lily Gladstone, who was in Killers of the Flower.
Oh, what does she wear? I didn't see her.
She wore something that I would want to wear. I loved it.
Oh, yes, drama. Give us the drama.
So good.
Give us the drama. So yeah, I love this. It's just for those who don't know, like it's just a plain white tube dress, but then she has this black crinkly crazy ruffle giant cape.
Yeah.
And very simple hair, very simple face.
Yep. And I loved her hair and I loved her makeup. And I just love it when plus size girls don't look like they're wearing a bag.
That
was so perfectly placed. That was always falling down the left shoulder. Live.
Yeah. Really cool placement with the little cape thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And she won.
She won
Best Actress, Killers of the Flower Moon. Shout out.
You know what? I thought Timothée Chalamet, I thought he looked real nice in his bedazzled jacket.
He always looks good. This wasn't my favorite of his looks, but he always turns out. Like I was reading something the other day. His team or whoever styles him, they like generally try to not put him in a suit. Like they try to take a different approach to the classic tux.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he always just looks interesting, which I love.
Yeah, but he's not always in like overalls. Like Harry Styles is like always
right.
In overalls. You know,
always
like
in a sparkly. Yeah, it gets boring after a while. Somehow they keep deconstructing this tux and making this dude look good. So yeah, I like this. This one was nice.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't win, but he was part of a little drama that was going down, which was so fun to watch.
I did see this. God, I was just watching this.
White people mess, girl. What?
White people mess. So what was it? It was like Selena Gomez came to take a picture and Kylie said Gomez. No or something.
Yeah, something happened. Selena Gomez was talking to Taylor Swift, who also looked great. She looked really nice.
Her. I forgot about her. Yeah, I love that like lime green. Mm-hmm. Especially on someone like with really pale skin. It was cool.
She looks really good. Selena Gomez was talking very freely with Taylor Swift and whoever her date was, who I'm sure is famous. I just don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. And Selena said, the lip readers have already claimed.
Mm-hmm, confirmed.
Selena said, I went to take a picture and she said no. Mm. And Taylor was like, oh, and the friend said, wait, what?
Oh my god.
And then the cameraman then caught Timothée and Kylie. All lovey-dovey. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey. Oh, I love you, 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 I love you. Very, very cute.
Yeah.
But I was like, but you know what? You ain't gonna touch my androgynous Wonka singing boyfriend. No. Nope.
And wasn't there was some drama, them little girls, Selena, Taylor, they always beefing with somebody. There's always
always. Long-standing beef with another it girl.
Another
sorts.
It girl, exactly. So I don't remember what they did to Taylor or to Kylie or whatnot, but she probably had reason to say no. Stop being messy, Selena. Goodbye. Because you know Selena's being messy.
Okay.
Can I take a picture with Timothée? And Kylie's sitting there like, bitch, you know what you said to my friend. Like, keep pushing. No. And then Selena just runs across the room, like, past Margot Robbie, past Brad Pitt, with her petty young Hollywood drama. I could not, but I also live.
I live. Couldn't even wait to get to the bathroom. Did not even text. Couldn't even. I have to tell you.
Right.
Let's go to the bathroom. Nope.
And the lip readers know exactly what they read. This is not, this is the interpretation. This actually happens. I believe all of it. Oh my goodness. Hilarious. But fun. Yeah. Thank you, Golden Globes, for the fashion moments and a little bit of petty drama. Love it.
Yeah.
Last random thing I saw. Common and Jennifer Hudson are dating. Did you see this?
Oh, I didn't. I don't keep up with who he dates often.
I love Common. Oh, my God.
I love Common, too.
Love Common. I was like, wait, what? So I'm interested in whoever he's paired with. Apparently, Jennifer Hudson and him are a new item. They've been spotted cozy at different basketball games and going on walks and stuff. Yeah. I thought she was married. I missed this.
No, she was engaged for like 10 years to that guy who was on.
The guy from, yes. Oh my God. They never got married?
No, they never got married. They had a kid, I think. And you know what? Common stays with a successful black woman. He stays with like the best black woman in their field.
In Hollywood currently, yes. Serena. He was with Serena for a hot minute. Mm-hmm. He does stay with a little like a boss bitch black Hollywood.
Yes, you know? Angela Rye. He was with for a long time.
Oh, I missed that.
Like the top commentator on CNN. He was with
the top. He does. The biggest voice in Hollywood, Jennifer Hudson. Like,
The youngest EGOT winner, Jennifer Hudson.
Right. Wow. Oh my God. Shout out to him. He's got good taste.
He does.
Got great taste. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's popping on Patreon, y'all.
It is.
In case you didn't know. And we have some new amazing things coming to the Rose Garden on Patreon. Mm-hmm. We'll be announcing it all next week. If you haven't joined the Patreon, you'll definitely want to after this announcement. Of course, you can join our Patreon for access to our videos, ad-free episodes, but also lots of new exciting content coming that we're really excited about. One thing we did just announce on Patreon, which we're really excited about, is Two Black Girls Watch, which is reaction content from Justine and I. That will be starting on Patreon January 18th. We currently have a poll running. mm-hmm. between for the Rose Garden to tell us what to watch, Sex mm-hmm. in the City Season 1, Insecure Season 1, or Millionaire Matchmaker, oh which has popped up on Netflix, and I'm so excited.
Whether y'all watched the first episode, we're gonna watch it. I watched the first episode. It was fucking iconic. It's the New York season.
Oh, season 3 is New York. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Oh, and I already looked up where the both billionaires are now. Oh,
the best. Single and...
No, both married.
Oh, both really? Married. Oh, mm-hmm. good for them. But yeah, so we have a poll up on Patreon, waiting for the poll to tally up and tell us what to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Insecure Season 1, Success, you know, can go so wrong good. With any of these. So
exactly.
But yeah, head to patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose mm-hmm. and become a member of the Rose Garden. You can also try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. You get a whole week free of content. Mm-hmm. So check us out if you are interested. Yeah. And shout out to the Rose Garden. As always, we love you guys. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. If you are listening to us right now on Apple Podcasts and you've been listening to us for several weeks and you like what you hear, mm-hmm. head on over to the review section. Write us a nice little review.
Yes, please, please, please.
Please, and thank you. Mm-hmm. And yes, find us on Instagram, on TikTok, tags in your story, shares with the world, all that good stuff.
All of it, yep.
All right, Justine, do we have any lovely church announcements?
We have one. Thank you much, Genevieve, who clarified a born-again virgin.
Okay. Yeah, what is this? Born-again, abstinence, celibacy? Yes. Yeah.
So celibacy and abstinence, those are different. Celibacy is for religious reasons and ends at marriage.
Right, okay.
So that's like a promise you're not going to have sex until you get married, no matter if you've mm-hmm. had sex before or not.
Got it.
And then abstinence is abstaining from sex for a certain period of time. So that's like, mm-hmm. I was like abstinent for however long, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Born again virgin.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Genevieve, who I'm pretty sure is right because she does always comment about wild, she says, quote, wild white evangelical things.
Okay. A resident expert.
Uh-huh. So if you've been out and having sex and then something happens, she says, usually a mega church or on a mission trip or a church camp, then you realize God can restore you and you repent and recommit mm-hmm. to celibacy. And as soon as you do, you're a born again virgin. Even if you had sex that morning, she says, you're born again virgin.
Oh, okay.
It's like a you are forgiven type of thing. So we got a little bit of marketing. You know what I mean? Spinning around the Bible's language. Yes, you know what I mean?
I know.
But yeah, that's what a born again virgin is.
Okay.
So thanks, Genevieve.
It's almost like atoning for your slip up and all right, your little backslide. And now, okay, God, forgive me. I will.
Yeah.
Now. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Genevieve, for that little insight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Let's dive into this recap.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we are still in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley
Aloft. Jesus Christ. God, I'm so tired of looking at this.
It's broken
wooden furniture. God.
Oh, God. We have Ashley and Giselle. They are setting up a painting party for Karen's triple 20, her 60th birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I love how they like did a flashback to some of Karen's like great moments over the years.
She said so many.
She has. And she's also has some terrible wigs. Her and some Giselle.
The worst. Her, Giselle, and like Kim Zolciak are in the Housewives' worst wiggery.
Oh, shiny, cocked to the side, mm-hmm. like just look greasy
falling
and naughty.
Off.
Yeah, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. I have a would you rather, friend, speaking of bad wigs.
Oh,
I feel like I might have done one like this before, but whatever, we'll do it again. Okay. Would you rather be on national television every week with a bad wig?
Mm-hmm.
Or with a bear face.
Ew. Bear?
As a bear face. Speaking to makeup girly right now. Which is worse for you?
Bear face, and I have also had no procedures done. I haven't had microblading on my eyebrows. I don't have lash extensions. I don't have lip injections. I don't have cheek filler. And I don't have jaw filler.
Just your bare face.
Yikes.
All natural.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me. It's been really stressing me out. I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. Yeah. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R.
You rather be with a bad wig?
I can recover from that. A bare face? I can't recover from that.
What?
Actually, you know what? Actually, okay. It depends on how you spin it. I think because Karen tried to do a wig line, I don't think it was successful because I think it takes a lot of work.
Oh, but God, Karen.
Like, if I was to take an example, like a Marsha on RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's, yeah.
She now has like a line of lip balm and mascara, I think, or something.
Oh,
okay. So I
okay.
feel like I could nice. Turn it around, maybe.
It's a something, I guess.
Make it into something that I actually really love, which is makeup.
Right, yeah.
So maybe a bare face. A bare face. Lie down and die. Oh, my God.
I would definitely go with a bare face. I also think that's the right answer because people will call you brave. They'll call you a natural beauty. You will get a spin and credit and a lot of praise for that bare face. A bad wig, people will clown you forever. Regardless.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. There's no positive spin on a bad wig as there is with a bare face.
No, exactly. Yeah, you can't go on and sell them later.
No. That's what you said. Karen had a wig line. Karen,
she tried. I know.
Oh, exactly. God. See. Oh, Lord. Okay. Anyways, Ashley. I also, can we talk about Ashley and these ill-fitted tops? Oh, she's got to figure out how to dress these tatas.
She just got her boobs done 5 days ago.
2 seconds ago, this bikini was similarly twisted to the side, barely was covering. Like, I need somebody to take her shopping ASAP.
I know. But she's also like freshly getting divorced. I don't blame her. She wants to be like damn near free the nipple every episode.
Yeah, right. So Ashley gives us a little insight into, and she's talking with Giselle about her mama. And how she hasn't been to her mom's new house that she bought like 2 years ago. And she does not fuck with her mom's partner, like, at all. And it sounds like he's been around for years.
Yeah,
seems like he's a bum-ass dude who's been around, like, also in Ashley's life for years. And he's a deadbeat. He can't rub two pennies together. Like, it's just a mess. So she gave that insight. And then in her confessional was like, so that painted for me a type of relationship I did not want for myself. And I went the complete opposite way, insinuating going after someone like Michael, who was more stable, you know, financially stable. I'll just say that. financially stable.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Financially stable. And I would think, right, if I'm Ashley, I'm cute, mm-hmm. young, hot, fun Ashley, and mm-hmm. I get with Michael, how dare you have the nerve to cheat on me publicly?
That's what I'm saying.
And Michael is not the type. Unfortunately, she landed one that was not the type to actually respect her and give her the like princess treatment that I think she was looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably what she thought when she That's got what she Michael. Thought.
Yeah. And that's probably what he was selling. He was probably treating her like a princess and, you know, this and that in the beginning. But he's just a disgusting person. So he's just a nasty man. He's just going to do what he's going to do. He's terrible. Yeah. So she didn't know. But yeah, that gave a lot of context to seeing like mm-hmm. how someone so beautiful and pretty and whatever went the complete opposite way than her mom. She saw her mom just struggling financially with this deadbeat guy hanging around for her whole life. So,
and it explains why she still is hanging on to Michael today. Yeah,
today. Yeah. Jesus. Now, meanwhile, the other ladies are at the pool. So we have Candace, mm-hmm. Karen, and Wendy getting drinks at the pool. Mm-hmm. Wendy's mama apparently is in the hospital. Sounds like she has like appendicitis or something.
Yeah.
She'll be all right. The way that Wendy was like trying to wipe away tears, I was like, bitch, they about to just remove her appendix. ain't none but a thing. Shut up. Like,
it's like, we don't know what's wrong. We don't know what's wrong. What do you mean? What are you talking about? And then she was fine 3 hours later. Oh, is that a surgery? Like, it's fine. Right. Ah!
That's a very routine thing that she went through. Please. So Wendy's like, you know, that's why, you know, with what's going on with my mom, that's why NECA's accusations were so upsetting to me. Even Candace in her interview was like,
I know, Wendy. Like, Wendy, please, I can't defend you. NECA's actions can be triggering, no matter if your mom's in the hospital or not. You
know or I mean? Not. Yeah. So don't try to conflate and my mom's in the mm-hmm. hospital. So that's why. No. Like, oh, my God. Meanwhile, we have NECA in the pool. She's wearing this like bold Balmain swimsuit. Just mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, NECA got on the bright bold, you know, brands, which mm-hmm. just seems very NECA. Not surprised.
It's your Housewife season one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tells me.
I know. So NECA, Robin, and Mia are in the pool. Talking shit about Wendy, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm. And Mia brings up how Wendy at this distillery was sharing how, you know, triggered she was by NECA's accusations and mm-hmm. using the word shrine, how it was misused and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, this moment I was like, even Stevie Wonder could see NECA and Mia are just useless.
Like, oh my god, they're just there to talk shit about the other people who are there.
That's it. Exactly. No storyline of their own. Without Gordon, I don't care about Mia. Without the Gordon storyline that I barely care about my damn self, I don't care about Mia. And then NECA. On this trip, she just feels awkward. Like, I feel mm-hmm. awkward watching her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to show out in her little swimsuit, trying to talk and, you know, be kiki with Robin. But, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. your purpose here is very bizarre to me.
Yeah, same. Because she's really Ashley's friend. Mm-hmm. But she's not really with Ashley.
Allegedly. Right. Right.
Big allegedly.
Allegedly. Ay, ay, ay. Now, time for Ashley and Giselle's little painting party for Karen. Mm-hmm. They want all the ladies to redraw Karen, mm-hmm. redo that awful painting drawing. What was that? That little painting drawing thing that they always that flash? Activity? No. That little drawing, that crazy looking drawing of Karen that they always...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What is that from that again? I think that is... The Bravo producers drawing who Karen described Juan's girlfriend was.
Oh, okay.
I think that's it.
I was like, who drew that? They use it all the time.
I know, all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Oh my God. So Candace, they get to drawing and painting, whatever. Candace says she's still beefing with Robin on the low. So that's what's on mm-hmm. her mind. That's weighing her down. Mm-hmm. Loved this interview look, by the way. This, like,
which one was this one?
This was like her one sleeve.
Oh my god!
Alien superstar look. I loved
iconic
it.
Iconic Candace. I love that one. Oh my god! It was so good. It was so great. Good. And then the flash to Ashley in the metallic. I was like,
and I love Ashley. I love the
We need to start doing confessional matching confessionals.
Themes, confessional themes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? Themed after Renaissance songs. Let's do it. Cozy. Why not? Alien superstar.
Yes. Let's I love that. Oh my god. So yeah, they paint Karen, they do a little show and tell. Wendy,
it was cute.
She literally drew the two hairs coming out of Karen's mole. Robin drew her as a Twitter blue check.
That was funny.
And yeah, shout out to Karen. She looks great for 60.
She does.
Jeez. She looks great. She might have had a little help, but that's fine. Who hasn't these days? Mm-hmm. So shout out to Karen. So the ladies head to dinner before a drag show that they're going to go to later on. Mm-hmm. That is, I guess, Ashley's way of trying to support drag culture, which is like under attack in Texas and all of the South. I mean, always, but probably definitely at this time when they filmed this. And the fits, everybody had on a jumpsuit.
Everybody was going somewhere different. Again, we are all going to different places. Even Crunch, who would live his life in a Nike Tech sweatsuit, was like, what the fuck is this?
Where are they going?
He was outraged. She was like, what?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Because why don't they talk to each other? Why don't they text? What are you wearing? What is this? Are you matching? Blah, blah, blah. Ashley, still? Why?
Ashley's outfit was terrible. What was that? Her cheeks were hanging out.
It was ill-fitted. It was not flattering. No. It looked like she shouldn't have been sitting down anywhere in any public chairs. Why?
And then Wendy, Mia, and Candace all had on jumpsuits.
Wendy had on that Mugler jumpsuit. So tired. Iconic when she bought it, and so tired now.
I don't want to see no more Mugler fucking jumpsuits. Everybody done wore it out.
It's like that Jean Paul Gaultier dress that you've definitely seen. That it's so iconic when it goes down the runway 6 months before, and then when it gets to ready to wear, Fashion Nova has already done copies of it and everybody's worn it, and it's really tragic what happens to these designs now.
It is,
but yeah, Wendy looked iconic that day. On that day.
Poor Wendy. She just knew she was serving, and we were watching it now. Like, god damn, another fucking jumpsuit. Like, that sucks. Damn. Now, so yeah, they all show up for dinner. Mia in her confessional is talking about her issues with Gordon and how, you know, they got all kinds of lawsuits going on, all kinds of craziness.
Yeah.
How he's not the man she married, and that's what's on her mind, and blah, blah, blah. Now, Ashley decides to bring up chicken shit bingo and the drama that went down between Candace and Robin. Candace still, I mean, very emotional over this seemingly ending friendship with her good friend Robin, it seems. So Ashley just flat out asked Candace, like, why'd you feel the need, why do you think it was okay to bash your friend on social media? Which I think is a valid question.
I think so.
I think that's a valid question. Candace is just like, I'm not addressing you, Ashley. Because she knows what Ashley's doing. She's trying to stir drama. And you know this conversation is not a conversation for the whole table. So yeah, I'm not even going to go there with you. Just stop. And so Ashley's trying to have a moment. You know, I say it on, you know, I say what I say to the group. You have to say it on the internet. And, you know, Robin's like, what she did. Candace, what Candace did was so unspeakable. And
I don't know if it's unspeakable. It's fine. Like, what your husband has done is unspeakable. Right. And we can just keep bringing that right back around.
Always bring it right back there. So Candace, to her defense, she's like, I tried to reach out to you. I guess what Candace is saying is, when it all came out that Robin hid her storyline, basically, that war machine on her. Candace tried to reach out to her, tried to be a friend, tried to be there. And it seems like Robin iced her out.
Yeah,
and that only made Candace even more upset and mad. And that's when she got on Twitter and started blasting her. So it's like, you already feel betrayed as a friend that you had all this going on. You didn't tell me. You hid it from the show, knowing what I was going through with my husband and these false accusations. And then when I try to reach out to you, you don't treat me like a friend and pick up the phone. So I think that's where Candace kind of, you know, in her mind was like, well, this isn't my friend anymore. And just went off on Twitter.
Yes. I think Candace is a 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out kind of friend.
Yeah, I think so. But she can't be crying right now.
She can't be crying. She can't do both.
Yeah. So she's like, I tried to reach out to you. You know, you're sitting here trying to play damsel in distress. You're not the victim. Like, stop doing this. And Robin gets on her high horse. Like, none of us should be using social media to weaponize against each other. And Candace is like, well, that's rich coming from you because you guys weaponized against me and my husband last season. And the line keeps moving like that. That is so true. That.
Yes.
You could, I think agree. Candace a lot of times is crying out of frustration.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think she's mad.
She's big mad. And she's so frustrated. Like, y'all are trying to attack me for my social media attacks on Robin. But I last season had to deal with all this fake shit with my husband, and Giselle's over here kicking with everybody. Nobody's saying shit about that.
Yes.
That is so infuriating.
Her and Robin have a podcast together. So they get up every week talking all kinds of shit that I still to this day have no idea what they talk about on that show.
I don't know.
But she still didn't even say it on that show.
You
know, like, that's exhausting for Candace, who doesn't have the same outlet. She's trying to sing, which is her God-given talent, and not jump into the podcasting game.
Yeah, very infuriating. But yeah, the line keeps moving. What's acceptable versus what is not. It's like each day they declare a new thing, and it's like, So I can't get on Twitter and say stuff, but Giselle can make up lies about my husband. Like,
right. For a storyline.
For a storyline.
She had a huge medical issues last year. Like, we could have relied on something else.
But you chose my husband. So Robin just gets up and leaves the table. And Karen, of course, Switzerland, always playing both sides. She's like, well, it's not right that we're trying to value Robin's tears over Candace's tears, because Candace's at the table. She's still crying. So, you know, and Mia's like, well, Robin's going through a lot. She's going through so much. And Karen hit with the truth. She said, Robin has decided she's fine. So what are we supposed to do? We can't keep saying Robin's going through so much. She needs our empathy. She told us she's fine and she doesn't care.
So you're not going through anything. According to you.
Yeah, according to you. Exactly. You're going through nothing. So what are you crying about, actually? You know what I mean?
I do.
Why is Candace crying? Why are you crying, Robin, if you are so fine and don't care about anything? Like, So Robin decides to call her husband and tries to FaceTime Juan, who claims he's doing laundry, which is why he can't FaceTime.
Again, here we are, right? Okay, so we have a FaceTime that's not working. Obviously a lie. Catfish season one lie, okay?
Seriously.
Then we have laundry, which again, he got in trouble
for. The laundry!
Keeps boomeranging back to Juan Dixon. And I just have never seen, especially on reality TV, not in a long time, I guess, somebody who just really doesn't care how they look on camera.
Doesn't give a flying fuck.
This is so unique.
It's so wild. Oh my God. Juan and Robin both get my Becky of the Week.
Oh boy. Okay, all right. I'll give it to Juan.
I'm giving it to both. One, for this bull-faced lie. You obviously ain't doing no damn laundry. You're at your side chick's crib. Just be honest. Please, for the love of God. Stop with all these lies. My FaceTime doesn't work. I can't. And then Robin, you the Becky for believing him and not demanding the FaceTime. Like, I
know.
Just the two of them. Just clowns.
Yes.
Just clowns. So yeah, she calls Juan and he advises her to sit and listen to Candace and to be the bigger person for once.
For once.
He said.
For once. Their last phone conversation, she was trying to figure out how to get him on her insurance. And he demanded that she be the bigger person after you don't have insurance, nigga, after you got fired. Oh, I wish you would. Oh, I wish you would. Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh,
man. He's
so bold.
He is. He's been like this her whole life.
He talks to her any type of way. He says whatever he wants. He gets whatever he wants.
This is why we say they have sibling energy. Because why is he talking to her like that? Like
wild
younger brother kind of speech.
Yeah, shenanigans.
God.
Be the bigger person for once, Robin.
For once. Oh my God.
So she hangs up on him, which I appreciated.
I loved it.
I did love that. So Mia, Giselle, and Ashley go to check on Robin. And she's basically crying to them, saying she just doesn't want to be in a friendship with someone like Candace who won't take accountability, and then we'll continue to talk shit about her, which I also understand. So
I get, but also I'm like, Candace is getting the brunt of this marriage as well, a little bit, I think. I think whoever has beef with Robin at the moment is going to get the brunt of she should have to be mad at Juan. You know what
misplaced
I mean?
Anger, 100%. Yeah. Because if Robin was being like, if she was being actually like empathetic or like, let me put myself in Candace's shoes, why would I get up on social media and say all these things? I mean, she doesn't owe Candace this, but if she, in Juan's words, wanted to be the bigger person, try to understand, I think she would see that Candace was just hurt. Last season, I was going through what I was going through with these accusations against my husband made by your best friend. Meanwhile, you on the low were going through an actual cheating scandal.
Yes, and could have distracted.
Yes, that
from a fake one. That was mine. And you chose not to. Yeah.
You chose not to. And then when I try to call you to talk about it, you deny my phone calls. So, but Robin is just, again, as you said, just misplacing her anger at Juan on anybody who's beefing with her at the moment. So. Hey, now Wendy advises Candace, which we're all thinking, to have a private conversation with Robin. You're not going to get anywhere doing it at a table with NECA and Mia and these randoms.
And Ashley.
Ashley, like, come on. And so, yeah, so that was the little dinner. For some reason, Giselle and Ashley, like, gave Karen a lap dance.
Karen a lap dance? Yeah. I don't really know. But Giselle looks great for 50. And I really liked her dress.
Yeah, Giselle looked nice. She did. So all the ladies head to a gay club for a drag show and Karen's birthday night. And I want to be 60 at a club with a table. Like,
so bad.
This is exactly what I want to do on my 60th birthday.
And not only do I want to be there, I want to be gooped and gagged by everybody having my face on t-shirts.
Yes. 1,000%
Lived for that. Because now you can get those. You can get those on, I see them on TikTok shop all the time.
Karen Hooger shirt?
For their boyfriends. No. You can get custom ones of like band tees of you, and then you get it like your
I've seen this. I have seen these. Yes. Yeah. Customized.
Which I think is cute. That's such cute. A good idea. And I just think this is a really great example. I think a lot of networks are trying to emulate Bravo, and they're like Bravo Liberty, Bravo Con type of economy. And this is one of the instances where Bravo does a great job of uplifting housewives and making sure everybody knows they're famous without taking away from the show.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? They would never do something like this on The Bachelor, that even anything even remotely like this. And they have people coming out all the time. They have like people, extras coming out, and let's go see, you know, Lily Van Dyke. Oh my God, could you imagine she's here? No, have everybody up there with a Zach for Bachelor shirt on. You know what I mean?
Something. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, the Bravo, they know the economy. They know the empire. Mm-hmm. So they lean into it. All right, it's Karen's mm-hmm. birthday. Let's book a night at the club and make sure everybody mm-hmm. there. You know, it's a nightclub night for Karen. So people come already with the t-shirts on.
Yes.
You know, the right. sparkler guys come out with the sparklers and the sign. Mm-hmm. Like they came ready for Karen because it's also a huge promotion for the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But loved this. Love this for Karen. I was like, I need to make mm-hmm. a mental note of this. My 60th birthday, I want to be an industry watching a drag show oh with God. Everybody with my t-shirt on, my face on it.
Health industry to still be open.
I know. I want to be wearing a fucking Moogler, like fucking jumpsuit and walking in. Like, oh, I was like, oh my God, make a mental note, Tasha. You want to do this. This looks awesome yeah. for your 60th. I love mm-hmm. this. Okay, then all the ladies in the confessional, they're like sharing their drag names.
None of them have watched a single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race at minimum, or been to a gay club, or been to drag night.
I know. Wendy's name was my favorite, I would say. Dr. Lady, Dr. Lady Bonquiqui Summers.
Hate it.
It was the most drag of, I mean, what is... Ginger Pop was.
I thought Ginger Giselle. Pop was at least like that. At least makes like kind of sense, and it's kind of catchy.
Yeah,
I won't forget it. Dr. Lady Bonquiqui Summers. I'm gonna forget what that is.
I like it. I like and all the names.
How do, I know Bonquiqui? That's a character. You can't steal another character's name and put it in your drag name.
Yeah, yeah. Champagne Vibacious.
That was the worst.
Was Neckas.
I was like, NECA girl.
Not
please.
Good. Ooh. Mia didn't even come up with them. She just said Madison, which was her like stripper stage name.
Her stripper name.
Candace Petty LaBelle. That was cute, I guess.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Yeah. Robin Green Eye Gobbler, bitch. This is not
that's what we call you anyway, bitch. Let's not.
Why was that a drag name? What the heck?
No, it's not a last name. Like these girls don't watch anything.
They don't know name. What's happening. Yeah, anything.
It needs to be one word or a last name, like
or some type of last name. Horrible. Anyways, they watched a drag show and they came up to play games. They got to do a runway walk, and during Wendy's runway walk, NECA was like giving her a thumbs down and trying to create something because. She ain't got nothing else to do.
Like, exactly, because you know what's bold? Doing that in a room full of people who avidly watch The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is bold. When you are a new housewife and they don't know nobody has seen you before.
Who you are. I kept thinking that as she's there, I'm like, no one here knows who this person is.
Not only do they not know who you are, this is also a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because we have three straight women and two bisexual women up on stage at a drag bar. That never happens.
Who is the bisexual? Ashley?
Ashley and Mia.
Oh, Mia. I forgot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Never pulling one straight girl back right. up in a drag bar. Like, right. And then you're going to take the time to pay attention to another straight one? Please. Make something for yourself. Like, I know. Do something to make you stand out. Stop with this, like, I watched the show before. I studied this. Mm-hmm. I hate Wendy. That's not enough.
That's it. Yeah. She's bombing. She's really bombing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. She's, you know, giving the thumbs down. And then Karen obviously won because it's her birthday.
Yeah.
And she has some good knees. She was down on her.
She does.
So, my knees are good like this at 60. Shit. God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're definitely going to the club, girl.
We definitely got to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got a little preview for next week. We see Mia, Juan, and Robin in conversation. And Juan, who has never looked worse.
He looked
washed. Oh my God.
No, stop.
He looked horrible. I was like, oh God, he needs to get a job. It does not look like unemployment does not look good on him.
I know, a man not working is not good.
Not a good look. He looked terrible. Oof. But it's him, Juan, and Mia, Mia, Juan, and Robin, and he is speaking from his chest saying that he went to the hotel and put his card down.
I just put my card down.
Mm-hmm. And Mia was even trying to give him the layup, like, "Oh, you called, called the card in."
Exactly, Mia, who has been in the industry, okay,
right. So she knows how this works.
Had transactions, okay. Said, "Oh yeah, you called it in, right? You called it in, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Like trying, and he boldly mm-hmm. says, no, I went to the hotel. What are you talking about?
God.
Oh my God. What?
And how does, and Robin just stands there and she has to just say, I don't care. I don't care. Y'all stop. I don't care. Like, oh, that's so sad.
I know. It is sad. It's sad.
It's really sad. Yeah, it's a lot. Just really sad. We see a moment with Wendy and her mother, and she's questioning her mother about the shrine comment and what that's about to be, or what that was about. And then we get another moment of the ladies were all out, and Mia excuses herself to go cry and saying something about how that was triggering and she couldn't get out of it, or I don't know what she's talking about. So. And that's what's to come.
I'm excited to be out of Austin.
Me too. Yeah, I'm excited to be out of Austin. I've been here like way too long and not much is happening. And then Juan and Robin on camera looking like boo-boo the fool. I need to see this. So and Wendy confronting her mother about her these mom. comments. I can't wait for that mom to boldly from her chest say, oh yeah, I said this and the third. Oh my God.
Man, so what did we learn, Tosh?
What did we learn? Okay, so my question was, at what point is it okay to stop fighting for a friendship? Like, what are the signs that it's time to just, like, hang it up? I don't want to be groveling. I have to beg you to be my friend. Like, don't do me any favors. You know what I mean? Wow. You want to be here? You want to be here. Like, I'm not going to be trying to grovel and get you back and I don't, and it depends on what went down in the friendship, but like the way that it seems Candace, like the tears and the grieving that she's going through for Robin and this and that, and it's like she don't want you. You I don't know. Want her neither, because I don't think you would have got on social media and said all these things. So if it's at a point where you're almost like metaphorically on your hands and knees and it's like, friend, please, da 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 da. Like, I think at some point you have to just like realize this person doesn't want anything to do with you, and you should value your pride a little bit more as well.
Do you think, oh my God, do you think that, because, and you brought this up earlier, I think Candace, and I believe it too, Candace is crying out of like, she's being miscommunicated. Like she's they're just not receiving what she's giving at all. Do you think, to my first thought when I hear that question, is that you won't, we no longer speak the same language, right? Like I'm talking and you're not hearing, and you talking and I'm not listening,
right?
Is that, I think that's like a major part of what's going on here with Candace and Robin, right?
We got to get on the same page, and but even that is worrisome to me. Like, if we're not speaking the same language, like, what happened to our communication? Why is there such a breakdown that I'm trying to literally speak another language for you to even like hear me? Like, at what point is it just like, I don't know what we're gonna do? Like, at what point do you just say, like, we're not going to see eye to eye? Because I know at some points it's like, bygones be bygones. It's like water under the bridge. Like, we can just, like, set things aside or whatnot. But I don't know. We're missing each other this much. How do you come back? How do you find a middle ground? And at what point do you just say, you know what? I don't know if we're going to get there.
Yeah, I think when husbands are involved, I think it's time for a break. I love a friendship break. A little cool down, a little chill out, a little cool down. I love it. I think a lot of girls go through that. I have gone through that more than once, where a man is in the way and everybody needs to just calm down and chill out. Maybe two men are in the way and everybody just needs to sit down and calm down for a little bit, get themselves together, and then you can come back and be a real friend. But sometimes there's people in the way. Sometimes there's family in the way. Especially with friendships. I think throwing a friendship away is so sad. That's sadder than a like breakup.
Oh, definitely. Friendship breakups are really sad.
Like devastating.
And there, I think there's definitely worth a fight. I think because it's so sad to give up on a friendship. But at some point, and I think definitely with Robin and Candace, where, as you said, there's a man involved. and Robin, there's no accessing her. The attitude of I don't care, and he did nothing wrong. And there's so even taking a break, I don't even know if that would even work for them.
Well, it would depend on how Juan treats Robin during the break.
Yeah.
You know, if he's Juan turns around and is like, you know what, I'm going to be husband of the year and I'm going to do everything I need to do. Robin might feel more comfortable being friends with somebody who does have a husband of the year. Who's Chris? yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it's so dependent on other people at that point, you know, so that's hard to say.
It is, yeah. What do y'all think? At what point do you stop fighting for a friendship? What are the signs they need to hang it up, or when, if ever, or do you keep fighting? Like, what do you guys think when it comes to this? Let us know. Email us, 2blackgirls1rose@gmail.com. Let us know in Patreon comments. And yeah, that's it, my friend.
That's it.
So join the Rose Garden at patreon.com/2blackgirls1rose. Rate, review, and subscribe. Find us on all the things. And we'll be back next week.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.